All right, guys, jumping back in. We have good friend Scott Kahn on the podcast. Scott's legendary, one of the old school guys in jiu-jitsu, and you've seen him on every single big blockbuster movie and TV set that's probably out there. But since we haven't been able to train in the garage, decided to kind of get him on and also talk about his jiu-jitsu story and what he's been up to. So let's jump in. Thank you, Scott, for jumping on the podcast, man. Thank you.
Yeah, of course, man. Of course. This is actually the only thing I do like talking about.
You don't like talking about surfing or, you know, the good old days of LA and, you know, the old school days when you used to rap and do hip hop. That was cool shit, too.
I like that, too. But I mean, I just, you know, I much prefer this than talking about, like, you know, business or jobs or, you know, that kind of stuff.
I mean, your job is kind of interesting to like most of the average people. So, you know, I know you're probably over talking about that kind of shit, but everybody wants to be on the red carpet like you. So,
well, no, I gotta remember that some of that, you know, that stuff is interesting to people, but for me, you know, like I find jiu-jitsu and surfing a lot more interesting than the movie business, you know?
Well, so let's jump right into jiu-jitsu and specifically. So give me a little like snapshot of how you started, when roughly, and then kind of like into now. Give me like a little summary, a little 5 minute, 10 minute summary of how that went down.
So, a buddy of mine back in 95, 94, 95 was, he was actually a roadie for House of Pain. He was on the road with House of Pain, and I met him, and he was kind of like my big brother at the time, kind of looked out for us on tour and kind of showed us what was what. We were just 16-year-old kids on the road, a buddy of mine named Gator. When he was done with, you know, touring, he ended up becoming a bouncer, like head of security for a lot of clubs in Hollywood. He was like a little dude. He only weighed like 150 pounds, but he was a loke and kind of everybody respected him. Anyway, long story short, he one day said, "Yo, come with me to this spot called Beverly Hills Jiu-Jitsu." You know, cause we were all like growing up kind of scrappy kids and always interested in, you know, like, you know, one or two UFCs had come out at the time. And, you know, I was like up on who Hoist was and was definitely interested in jiu-jitsu. So I went over to this spot, and at the time there wasn't really an organized jiu-jitsu class. There was a purple belt from Torrance, one of Horian whoever was teaching over at Torrance at the time, one of his purple belts would teach a jiu-jitsu class. And then there was like a wrestling class with Mark Kerr. There was a valetudo class with Marcus Huas. Oleg Tektarov taught a class there. I mean, it was just like it was like the first MMA school in Los Angeles, and all these dudes were teaching classes. I mean, I'm not even exaggerating. Like that list of dudes would have a class, you know, 8 to 9 was one class, 10 to 11 was another class. And that's what Beverly Hills Jiu-Jitsu was at the time. It wasn't just specifically jiu-jitsu. Anyway, long story short.
But what year was that? That was in 95, 96, was it? Or was that kind of like later 90, towards like 99, 99?
No. It was like 96, 95, 96.
Wow.
Yeah. Beverly Hills Jiu-Jitsu opened in either 95 or 96. And from, I was there like early when it just opened, and all those dudes were pretty much there from as early as I can remember. I mean, maybe 97, but I really think 96 was the year.
That's like only like the biggest savages at the time. Like those guys were all like at the peak of their careers. Like that's wild.
Yeah. And I know it sounds like, you know, in today's, you know, everybody's got separate camps, and there's no way that 7 of the top dudes in the world would all be teaching classes at one school. But you got to remember in the mid 90s, like MMA wasn't what it is today. So this was pretty much the only place they could all go and teach classes.
For new kids that don't understand, that's like the equivalent of like, you know, Greg Jackson's camp or American Top Team all being in one gym, and then, you know, every world champion teaches a class basically. Right. I mean, that's like, that's ultimately about what it is.
Yeah. And I'm talking about classes with like 7 people in each one of them, you know, like, yeah, you know, Marcus Huas and Pedro Hizo taught a class. And I remember being in it, you know, I'd go, I think Tuesdays and Thursdays, I would go in Marcus's class and there'd be seven or eight people in the class.
You know, crazy.
And there wasn't even a blue belt in the class. Everybody was white belts. The only, like I said, the only black or the only purple belt jujitsu instructor, the only instructor was this guy, Ethan. And then Mark, God, what was his last name? He became a black belt and ended up teaching in Vegas. You remember the blue belt who used to teach at Beverly Hills Jiu-Jitsu back in the day that moved to Vegas, teaches out there?
Mark. It wasn't Mark Walder, the one that went to the Gracie Academy, right? It was somebody
No.
else. Mark Lyman. Was it Lyman?
I think Mark Lyman. Yeah.
Wow.
White boy. Anyway, so yeah, there was like a blue belt and a purple belt. That was the jiu-jitsu, you know, class. And there wasn't even really a class. I mean, we'd walk in, Ethan would teach a couple techniques and then he'd beat everybody up just using his legs. He wouldn't even use his hands at first because, you know, he was, you know, being a purple belt in jiu-jitsu in 1995 was like being a, you know, you know,
red belt.
You remember that?
It's like being a red belt today.
Straight up, you know, like literally he would fight all these. And at the time, the people that were going to this school were not, you know, soft dudes looking for an easy martial arts class. Like everybody in there were monsters. And this dude, Ethan, I just remember him like just toying with dudes, outweighing him by 100 pounds, just using his legs, like catching people in triangles, not even setting up with his hands.
Was that like Ethan McManus or whatever? I can't remember the last name.
Ethan, God, I hate to use his old man, but his old man was a writer, a big, that's how I'm going to remember. Who wrote Big Wednesday?
Oh, Ethan, you would know that more than I would. Anyways, we'll let it come back if it comes back. So
yeah.
So you went through those days.
Yeah. So I went through those days and the MMA guys started kind of leaving Beverly Hills Jiu-Jitsu, because, you know, MMA started to kind of blow up around, you know, late '90s, early 2000. And it started to become a little more and more of a jiu-jitsu school. And that's kind of what I was kind of drawn to more than anything else, was the jiu-jitsu. And then we got a guy named Fabiano Hija.
Yeah, old school.
He was
Huntington Beach.
He was back in the day. Yeah, he was the first black belt to teach there. And so then when he started coming, it became, you know, the classes kind of started getting bigger and, you know, Ethan, the purple belt, kind of stepped to the side. He would still teach, but Fabiano became the main teacher. So he taught there for like 2 years. I got my blue belt from Fabiano in 99, I think.
Dope. I didn't know that.
Yeah. And, back then it was like, I mean, it was crazy, man. I remember when me and that dude Gator that I was telling you about, we got our blue belts together at the time Fabiano started teaching. There was like, we had like 20, 30 people in the school and there was no test. He literally lined up the entire school and put me and Gator in the center and would send new guys out and starting from standing. And it was just like an hour of beatings. I'm like, that's the last time I remember getting a belt like that insane way. And it was just, you know, anyway. But so Fabiano was there for a while and then Marcus Vinicius came in from Brazil and Fabiano left and Marcus Vinicius started teaching, took over Beverly Hills Jiu-Jitsu, and which was, you know, now pretty much only a jiu-jitsu school. I mean, there were still a couple MMA classes with this one and that one because Marcus had relationships with guys and guys would come in, teach seminars and special classes, but it turned into Marcus Vinicius's jiu-jitsu. And, you know, he came in and at the time it was just like, you know, all we did was fight. It was just scrap, 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 scrap. Marcus came in and it was like, now we have to bow and stretch and warm up. And there was structure to the class. And I was in my 20s and I was immediately over it. I was like, this is not what we've
not what I'm used to.
Yeah, this is what we haven't been doing this for the last couple of years. So I was just kind of over it and I bailed. And then, you know, I played around for the next few years. I would train here and there, but never really, you know, as steady as I did with Marcus. And then I'll try to make this short. I ended up going to Brazil in 2004 and, I hooked up with Valide.
Oh, and, shit. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So he was taking us around Brazil, me and a couple of my buddies. And he, you know, I told him, you know, I train a little bit. And he's like, I don't believe you. Come on, let's train. And he took me over to Nogueira's gym. And I trained with Valide for a couple hours. And he was like, yo, you can't stop doing jiu-jitsu. You have to keep doing this. When you get back to LA, I'm going to introduce you to my guy and you're going to start training jiu-jitsu again. You got to promise me. And I was like, all right, no doubt. And when I get back to LA, it's Marcus Vinicius that he sends me to.
Oh, so classic.
Yeah. So, you know, I walked in, I was like, you know, you know, I was like a little older now, had a little more, you know, respect and, you know, apologized to Marcus for leaving back in the day. And, you know, he was been my instructor ever since and, you know, never left after, you know, 2005, just stuck with Marcus and, you know, Beverly Hills Jiu-Jitsu has moved a couple of times. But it's, you know, still, it's like one of the original, academies in Los Angeles.
I would say you stopped for a little bit too, right? I stopped
from like 99 to 2004. I mean, I was still training. I would still spar with friends and, you know, go to a class here and there every once in a while. I ended up, meeting, by the way, the way I met Valid was through Vitor Belfort, and he, Carlos or Carlson Gracie had a school in LA, La Cienega. Right? So I took a couple classes up at Carlson's from, you know, 98 to 2004, 99 to 2004, but that school didn't really stay too long. I can't remember why it closed, but it closed. But anyway, when I went to Brazil in 2004, Vitor was, you know, introduced me to Valide and was like, yo, you got to meet my boy when you go out there. So anyway, things have changed a lot since 2004. I mean, back then you really couldn't go to a lot of different academies. You couldn't, you know, you'd be, what's the word? Triange.
Yeah. You couldn't, it was old school back then. You couldn't jump around.
Yeah. So it wasn't, you know, it wasn't really cool, but over the last 15 years, that's changed a lot. And man, I've been so lucky, you know, I've been able to go and train with so many different people. I mean, you know, Beverly Hills Jiu-Jitsu is still my home academy, but you know, it's, sort of summing up training from 2006 to today would be impossible in a couple of minutes. Cause man, I've been, like I said, so lucky to be able to go to so many different places and train with so many different heads, you know, but
talking about you cruising and training with, you know, Marcus Vinicius in the early days. And that was like, that was like early time in jiu-jitsu in California specifically. And then you kind of go into Brazil and then coming back and training here through that whole time. How was it for you? Cause I'm assuming you were blowing up in every single film. It seemed like from, you know, 2000 to 2015 or whatever year I can even remember. But how was that like for you trying to like juggle both? Were you doing jiu-jitsu on set when you can get it or when you were traveling?
Yeah,
or,
I would go.
Like, hit or miss.
Yeah, no, I would, you know, I would, whenever I would go away on location, you know, I would also, you know, Marcus Vinicius, not a ton of people. I mean, people in the jiu-jitsu world know a lot about him, but he knows everybody, man. Like if I say, hey, I'm going to Texas to do a movie, he's like, okay, call this guy. I said, I'm going to Canada to do a movie. He's like, call this guy. So, you know, I'd always ask, you know, just show respect to Marcus and say, look, I'm traveling to this place and, you know, who is it okay with you that I train with? And he would send me to this one or that one or, this guy. And, so it was always, there's, you know, as jiu-jitsu grew, like I said, in 99, that didn't happen, but in the mid 2000s, you know, 2006, 2007, 2008, there, you really couldn't go anywhere without finding an academy. I mean, now you can't go anywhere without finding 10 academies, but, so yeah, I always, you know, from 2005 till today, I pretty much don't go unless I'm injured. I try not to go 2 weeks without training somewhere. And, so yeah.
Did that play, did jiu-jitsu play a role in your life within like your career and working as an actor, or did you just try and keep it completely separate to be like, hey, this is my release. I'm going to completely separate these two and I'm going to go like exhale and surf and do jiu-jitsu, or did you kind of try to intertwine some of the two and make them?
No, I think, I mean, it definitely intertwined in the sense that, you know, It's almost like when you do jujitsu and you go to a, it's almost like you're a preacher. You know what I mean? Like there's always somebody that I get in like jazzed about jujitsu wherever I go. Like if I'm, you know, anytime I've spent a decent amount of time somewhere, there's someone who says like, hey, what is jujitsu? You know, over the past year, someone asked questions. And the next thing you know, I'm, you know, giving this dude privates. The next thing you know, that dude's 4 years later calling me, telling me he got his brown or his purple belt or whatever it is. Or so I feel like I was definitely putting a lot of people onto jujitsu from, or even when I wasn't even training. I mean, from that time, from 99 to 2004, like I was working a ton then and I put a ton of people onto jujitsu. And so intertwined in that sense that I definitely, you know, jujitsu is a weird thing. It's like, you don't have to have anything in common with somebody and you can become really good friends with them as long as they train jujitsu. Like I have so many friends that our one connection is jujitsu and, you know, like we always have something to talk about. There's always something, you know what I'm saying? That thing where like,
if someone else does
jujitsu, they're like immediately your friend.
It's that culty weird. You're kind of like just as weird as me.
Yeah.
Thing. And like, straight you know, up. we might have some other things in common and that's cool. That's why we're here. And then like, you're like, oh, you mess with jujitsu. I could really mess with you now. You
know? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would never like be on an airplane and make friends with somebody and like have a lifelong friend, but I can't tell you how many times I've been like, you know, on a plane or, you know, on a train in New York and be like, wait, you train, right? Yeah. Okay. And like, I still have that dude's number and I still call him when I get to New York, or I still talk to that dude I met on a plane because he does jujitsu. Like literally, I don't even know where dudes live, but I'm like close. I'm close with him because of jujitsu. Like,
well, how is that different from you, you know, being a celebrity, right? And everyone like, hey, let me take a picture. You know, like they're just kind of interested and fascinated by you on the big screen and just trying to be cool with you.
It seems like you just gravitate normally
towards jujitsu people in general. If they could like, they could be like, hey, what'd you do with that arm bar? You're like, oh shit, you train? Like, okay, I could take a picture and let's talk about that arm bar.
You know, what's funny. Like people that do jujitsu in my experience, like aren't geeked on anything but jujitsu. You know what I mean? Like they don't care.
That's so true.
They don't care about movies. They don't care. Like they're way more stoked that I train jujitsu than I've been in movies, you know, or on TV shows. And I think that that's why it's, you know, such a rad thing. Like, to like have these weird relationships with these jujitsu folks, because like they don't really care about that stuff. And you know, I don't either. It's like, if someone's like sweating me about, it's like I was saying before, like this is way more interesting for me to talk about than talking about movies and stuff. And I feel like jujitsu people feel the same way. They're like, I don't care about your movie career. Like, show me that armbar.
Well, even so, to transition, that's super funny that you said that, because you're talking about being like the messiah and the preacher of like spreading jujitsu into Hollywood. But how was that like for you? Cause you started very, very early, right? 95. Like, I'm pretty sure there's like the Machados and some other like people messing with jujitsu in Hollywood at the time. But how was that for you being an actual, you know, being in the business, and jujitsu in Hollywood at that time, and then kind of where jujitsu is now in the business today? Now it seems like there's a billion celebrities training, but back then, like, I didn't know of too many, right? Like, how was it for you just kind of looking at that space?
I mean, it's hard to say, man, because, you know, there's no, even you hear about dudes today, you know, I'm not, no names at all, but like some people are like, oh, well, this isn't, you know, we do a different kind of jujitsu and it's a little more mellow because it's for celebrities, or, you know, but even that jujitsu is still jujitsu. It's just like dudes who aren't trying to get hurt, you know,
totally.
And I don't like look down. There is no version of jujitsu that is, it might not be, you know, on the level that other, you know, people might not train on the level that the dudes that we all look up to train, but it's still jujitsu. And like, so I don't sort of get lost in not remembering the exact question, but I feel
just kind of like jujitsu in Hollywood back then compared to jujitsu in Hollywood now, like before it probably wasn't.
Yeah. I mean, back then there was no version of that. Like back then it was like, everyone's going here to kill each other. And that, to me, that was like a part of what jujitsu is. And like now, I don't really have that same mentality. I mean, I still like to you know, go hard every, you know, once every four sessions. And, you know, I mean, we used to go every day we trained, it was like death, you know what I mean? Like we're trying to kill each other. But, you know, I've always been kind of, I'm not really interested in the light version of things. You know, if I want, when I boxed, I was like, all right, I want to spar with that dude who's a pro. Like, they're like, he's going to knock your head off. I'm like, I know, but what am I doing this for? So that I can like be cute with a heavy bag. Like, no, I want to see if I actually can do this thing. So that's kind of been my vibe when it comes to martial arts or wrestling or boxing or whatever it is. So, you know, today it seems like there's a lot more options of how you want to train. And like I said, I'm not knocking those options, but that's not how I started. Back then it was like, it wasn't for everybody, you know.
You started when you had to go out and pipe on a mid-sized day as opposed to like a chill day at like Huntington or something, right? Like
there were no chill days at Huntington. There were no longboard days at Malibu. It was just, you know.
And there's nothing wrong with that nowadays. It's just at the time, it was just a different time. That's all it was.
Yeah. And then, you know, look, that's, you know, it's cool to see, you know, what like Henner and Hedon are doing with it, you know, saying, look, there's a reason that people quit and we don't want you to quit. Back then they were like, if you can't handle this, we want you to quit.
They're like, get the fuck out. You don't belong here.
But I get that too, because it was like, we don't want people doing our thing if you're not going to do it to the fullest. And now it's, and again, I'm not saying this is a bad thing. I think it's a really good, healthy thing, because I think that jujitsu should be for everybody. Back in the day, the vibe was, this isn't for everybody. And that's what I liked about it when I was a kid.
Does that kind of bum you out a little bit? I know it doesn't bum you out, but I'm fucking as hardcore. I love it being as hardcore as anybody does. But then at the same time, I want new people to fuck with it too, you know? So, but does that kind of bum you out just because like maybe in your space, just in work and career, like, now you have like, you've been in it since 95. So like you've been doing it before, like it was even anything really. But now you got people like Floss and like, yo, I'm wearing my like Machado shirt. I'm wearing my like, you know, my Gracie shirt. Like I just took my first 30 slots of privates and, you know, I'm at so-and-so's house doing privates. Does that mess with you a little bit? You're like, dude, chill out. It's good you're doing it, but just chill first. Like make sure you could stick around for a year.
Yeah. I mean, the ego, like sometimes my ego will be like, dude, you're corny. You're not really doing jujitsu. But at the end of the day, I do appreciate it. And I do think it's healthy, because I really, you know, not to be, you know, like sanctimonious or corny about it, but I think that like jujitsu as a whole for everybody is a rad thing. Like, yes, I think that it can change people's lives in like such a positive way. And it can also change the people's lives that aren't hardcore and aren't about just wanting to, you know, kill every class, you know, like if I'm showing somebody who's just getting into jujitsu, like I have none of that vibe. I have none of that. This is, you know, I'm not trying to hurt people. And I feel like back in the day, we were all trying to hurt each other a little bit, you know,
for sure.
But I think it's especially also like, you know, I really do think that, you know, as far as a self-defense for women, there's nothing better. And I got a daughter and, you know, like I like the fact that it's not just for killers at all only anymore, you know?
Totally. For sure. What's your take on people in the space, like doing privates only, and just never doing a normal class? Or only, especially people like within that, you know, people within the industry, I understand why they only do privates only. They probably sure. don't fucking take selfies every single day or trying to get blown up in class. So I would probably do the same thing if I was in that space. Listen, but what's your take on that?
Two things. One, I think that's a bad excuse. I don't think that anyone's going to be asking famous people to take selfies in their class, because like I said, jiu-jitsu people immediately, I feel like, have respect. Like, dude, I've been all over classes. I can't remember a time walking into a different school with someone being like, hey, can I get a selfie? Like, they're more stoked that you do jiu-jitsu, and they more, I guess the thing you have to worry about is someone going like, ooh, I want to tap that, that actor guy, you know? But about the private thing, I think that privates with somebody really amazing is great, but never training with anybody else is not that great. If you predominantly do privates, that's okay, but you gotta, to, you know, you don't have to, but I think it's really important to do, you know, like 70-30, right? Like if you're going to do privates, do 70% privates and 30% go out there. And, you know, look, there's ways to go out and train and not get injured and be smart about it. But you gotta, anybody who does jiu-jitsu knows, if you train with the same dude, I don't care how good that dude is. If you're somewhat, if your level of jiu-jitsu is like, you know, if you're a high level jiu-jitsu guy and you're rolling with someone who's like on another level, if you only roll with that dude, you're slowly starting to figure that dude's game out. 100%. And you're going to not get tapped by that guy anymore. You're going to like eventually figure out ways to shut down his thing that he does to you over and over and over again. So for that reason, whether it's self-defense, competition, or just exercise, you have to roll with other people. I'll roll with one dude for, especially with COVID, you know, and get really cocky and be like, oh, my jiu-jitsu is off the charts right now. And then I'll go roll with someone else and go, oh, maybe it isn't. So, you know, maybe I am. I'm just getting used to this guy. You know what I mean? I'm getting used to the same guy over and over again. To answer your question, I think you gotta do a little bit of training with some other people, not just privates. But I feel like when you're starting, there's nothing better than starting with, you know, privates. If you can afford it, starting with privates is really good. And then expanding beyond that, because, you know, I mean, trying to learn jiu-jitsu in a class setting, the first 6 months is brutal, you know,
for sure.
You know, the teacher's showing some, you know, like crazy De La Riva sweep or something. And you're like, wait, where, what, how does any of this work? I'm a white belt. Like, I don't, you know,
you're and, like, you want me to slam dunk, but like, I don't even know how to dribble. Huh?
Excuse yeah. Me? Yeah. Yeah.
People prefer to take privates and prefer not to go to normal classes?
Well, I mean, for two reasons. One, I think the taking privates is, you learn a ton. I mean, you got an opportunity to roll with a guy like Buchecha or Cabrino or any of these high level guys and take privates with them all the time. Your jiu-jitsu in the first 6 months is going to blow away anybody's jiu-jitsu that's been going to a class for 6 months without question.
Totally.
But then the negative of it is, you know, like what we just talked about. But I think the reason people like that idea is because you get to learn a lot more faster. And then I think also people don't want to get, you know, they don't want to get hurt or don't want to get embarrassed or don't want to be in that, you know, in that kind of like lion's den scenario training. And that's okay. I guess that's not for everybody.
Hey, that ego of not getting fucked up by that normal person on the street that just beat your ass. That's not a good feeling, man, for anybody.
No, but that's the problem with it too, right? Like if you're only doing privates, you might not see enough different. You know, it's funny, man. You ever roll with a dude who like a buddy of yours who's like, hey, I've never done jiu-jitsu, but I want to see what this is about, and comes at you? Have you done that one?
Of course. Okay, that's the best. That's the best.
It is the best, but do you notice that it takes you like 30 seconds to kind of like relax and go, oh, wait a minute. Okay, now I got this. Like, dude,
yeah, because they're crazy.
They're being all spastic, and you're like, it's the equivalent of training with a white belt, right? Or like a really fresh, spazzy white belt. Like if you and I train every day for 6 months, like we're flowing and we're messing around and I sit guard and, you know, okay, here's the game. I pass your, like these dudes who don't know jiu-jitsu, which is the equivalent of some, you know, spaz that you fight on the street. Like it's different, man. You know, you're dealing with things you're not used to dealing with. You're dealing with someone who doesn't also know how to play the game. I mean, it's a bad phrase, but like play the game of training jiu-jitsu. So I think that's another reason why it's important to like train with a bunch of different people if you can, because you're dealing with other stuff, you know? So
to transfer to the next portion of it, we got to talk a little bit about the we got to talk a little bit about the secret garage. You know, you got the garage at the house, and I've been blessed to drop by and train with you, the guys there. And I think
you've been blessed to come by and have me not able to pass your guard.
Come on, man. Come on. We're breaking down all the new cool shit and trying to figure out what the hell is this. And hey, what did so-and-so teach that? Did you know so-and-so does this? Trying to give secrets. I think the last time I was there, I was like, you know, I think it was like, I don't know, Bombo was there. I think Wu was there. Luke, I think Tim was there that day. I forgot who was there, but there's always like rad people that roll through, man, through your pad and, you know, your garage. Have you always had the garage training for a while? And it's always been like the secret thing with just like you and the boys from around the neighborhood, or just friends that you want to train with or get something in? How's that been for you training at the garage at the house?
Yeah, I think, when did we start with the garage session? I think like maybe 8 or 10 years ago. Maybe it's been like 10 years.
I didn't know it was that long.
Yeah, or maybe not 10. I mean, yeah, when I started that show, when I started going to Hawaii, when I kept coming back and forth, I didn't, like, my schedule wasn't as set as it usually was. So I wasn't like able to make class as much as I wanted to. So yeah, I think it's been like almost eight years or more. And then, you know, it's, having the space at your house and inviting the people you want. I mean, there's always people at schools where you're like, oh, that guy again, like, I don't want to, why is this guy? You get to eliminate that stuff, you know, with your private space, and, you know, just kind of, you get to like set the rules of like, you know, no, we don't allow dicks here. You know what I mean? Like no idiots here trying to prove, you know, no, try to like, there's enough ego in jujitsu where, you know, you can't help avoid it. So like to eliminate as much of that as possible. It's yeah, man, having the space at home is like the greatest thing ever. And yeah, we've all like gotten over the years, been like super lucky, had a ton of rad people come through, and it's always, I mean, you know, it's always fun. Like it's never, you never leave feeling like, oh God, that guy was a dick, or how come this, you know. Anyway, it's like, it's a good setup, man.
But the vibe is cool, man. I think that's what was pretty interesting when it was like rolling. Cause you know, every place has a different vibe and different setup. But I think you said it best. You're like, there's just like, we don't allow dicks straight up, you know? And
yeah.
And that was the vibe that I got when I was training and I popped in and trained with you guys. Not only that, I think the cool part was like, it seemed like everybody was trying to weed through all the bullshit of jujitsu, right? So like jujitsu to me is like this big political mess that I love and hate, just like the normal person. But then at the same time, like you go, when we were training over there, it's like, yo, this is what so-and-so teaches. This is what these guys teach, right? There's no like right or wrong to it. But like, let's weed through all the stuff that we think works and doesn't work. And like, this is what we're thinking of it. So it was like almost like a condensed version of, you know, all the stuff that you're kind of messing with and breaking it down. So I thought that was really cool. And everyone just kind of sharing, you know?
So. Yeah. A couple of things. I mean, I love like what you just said is like my favorite part about like favorite thing is like, there is no right or wrong. I mean, obviously there's a wrong way to do something, but you know, if I show you something, I remember I showed you some technique and you're like, yeah, but what if you do this instead? This is what I learned. I'm like, oh shit, that's dope. Right. Like, you know, we're all just kind of like vibing off of each other's stuff. And again, if you have like dudes who are like, that's wrong and that's not the way you do it, it's like, no, that's not the vibe. Let's try it out. Let's see what's what. I'm not interested in spending time with people I don't want to hang out with, that's jujitsu or otherwise. Right. So, is there a question that I didn't answer? I think
No. You got it, man. I think we hit it. No dicks and no assholes in training sessions that you can kind of control. I agree with that 3000%.
Yeah. And being able to, you know, and have somebody come through and be like, you know, cause you know, people can be nervous about going to new spots, and being able to say like, no, man, this, trust me, like you'll have a good time here. Like this, you'll learn a lot. Oh, that's also what I was going to say too. It's like, you know, rarely, I mean, yeah, obviously there's a lot of dudes from my academy that come, but there's also, it's a really cool thing to have like high level dudes from all over the place come and share different things. And, you know, I feel like I learn a ton from this space here at the house, you know.
I think there's a lot too many people that have perspective too from the old school, new school, where it's going, and maybe even just like trying to watch and making sure everyone's kind of like protected in the space. Right. And mm-hmm. I think you have a pretty good perspective on a lot of those things. And I think for me, that was a big one. I don't feel good recommending many people to many places, and people ask me all the time, you know, like, hey, right. Where do I train? I'm like, as much as I want to tell you to go to these spots, I don't know if it's going to be for you, you know, and honestly, right. I don't want to burn the guy I'm sending it to, and I don't want to burn you. But then for me, I felt good, like sending people your way, even if it's just like, if there's synergy there, saying, hey, like, if you can just go like pop in with Scott at the garage, because he gets it. You know, right. all the way around. And like, I'm not too sure if everyone gets it all the way around, and there's nothing wrong sure. with that. It's just to make sure that that specific person that needs a specific thing can get guided the right way, at least in the first couple days in this thing. Like you said, like people burn yeah, well, out and be gone.
No, I appreciate you saying that, 'cause that's like super important to me. And, I keep repeating myself, but we want to like create an environment where people are stoked to be there, and they leave going like, oh, I want to come back and do that some more. You know, like you said, like the being the preacher thing. It's like when you really love jiu-jitsu and you like have a version of it that you want to share with people, like you want people to come back. You want people to be stoked on it, you know?
What's your take, Scott, on kind of transitioning from back in the day when you were, you know, in your early 20s and then now, you know, much older, you know, family, kids, and you're just like your body transitioning, right? Like what's old man vibes in jiu-jitsu like now for you? What's your training regimen to be sure to make sure you're careful and you're not overdoing it? Do you have like a specific regimen or things you try and stay away from and do?
I try not to train as much as I want to, you know. I'll try to keep it lighter, like 3 days a week instead of 5 days a week. And I also, you know, if I know that I'm going to roll with you and Bamba and, you know, a couple of black belts from Beverly Hills, or, you know, I know if we're going to have like a gnarly session, I'll try to make my other sessions that week. Maybe I'll do train with like a girl, you know what I mean? And, you know, try to keep it mellow, or train with a guy who's more my weight and not go crazy. I think, like I said, that 70-30 thing, you know, Glick, Brian, he told me that a few years back, and that kind of like stuck with me. He was like, look, you got to get those hard days in as we get older. But like, dude, I've had 4 surgeries, you know, over the last 15 years. Like, I don't want any of that again. So like, I try to just like map it out. Like, all right, I'm gonna go really, really, really hard on Monday. And then on Wednesday and Friday, I'm gonna roll with some people that I have like full control when I'm training. Cause I don't care how, you know, how experienced you're. And by the way, the deeper I get into jiu-jitsu, the more I am able to relax all the time. The more I am able to feel like I'm not gonna get injured. Nothing's gonna happen bad. But you know, sometimes things happen, you know, like a dude does something to you that you didn't expect. And now you're like, you're in like revenge mode, or like, all right, I'm going to tap this dude. And like your ego jumps out and you can't help that. So anyway, point is, I never want to skip those days. Like, I hope I can have those days all the way up until I'm 90, but I want those days now, as far as like keeping, you know, you talk about like old man training. I just don't do those every day. I do them like once a week or once every couple of weeks. And I stretch now. You know what I mean?
Like, I stretch too a lot now. Shit, that's like a real thing. Holy shit.
Dude, I'm telling you, my whole life, like, you got to stretch. I'm like, get it the fuck out of here. But now after every training, I stretch for 20 minutes every time. And it really makes my body feel better. And like, you know, I'll give up, I give up positions now, like positions I wouldn't give up back in the day. Like if some dude's yanking, we're training with a gi on, and some dude's yanking my collar and pulling my neck down. I know that I can fight to keep my posture and pull my neck back and get my posture good and, you know, play that fight and eventually win it. But now I go, you know what? Here, go ahead, take my back. And I'll put, you know what I mean? I'll just kind of slide to the side and then go turtle and then, you know, lay down and play guard for a second, rather than, you know, 15 years ago, I would have been like, I'm never, ever going to let this reversal happen. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to let this dude sweat. I don't care how much my neck hurts. I don't care how sore I am the next 2 days. Now I just go, all right, fine. You know, or like someone's got a deep collar choke on me, or they're trying to get a deep collar choke, rather than fight it. I'll just slide a hand in and roll to my side and go, okay, fine. You got the sweep and you're on top now, but I'm going to be comfortable under here. I mean, I think that's the thing too. The longer we train, the more comfortable we get in every single position. And I ain't trying to win points anymore. You know what I mean? I'm just trying to have a good role and feel like, you know, I mean, I still like go home at night or go upstairs at night and I'm still geeked on jujitsu. I'm still like telling my wife, like, yo, you should have seen what I did to this dude. And she's like, I don't care.
why are you even telling me? Like,
yeah. And I'm like literally explaining her specifically what I did. She's like, I literally don't know what you mean. And I don't care what you're saying.
That is so amazing. You've also, Scott, trained heavily in New York for a while, you know, training in Hawaii for a while. And then of course, California. Do you see any of those like places any different in terms of like people that you're rolling with, vibe and all that? Or do you think they're all very similar?
You mean like, as far as like, are all the places I train similar? Absolutely not. I mean,
and just like the book of people, right? Like when you're training in Hawaii, there's probably a different set of group of guys that have a specific vibe and energy. And like, you're like, okay, well, this is what I got to prepare for when I'm training in Hawaii. When I'm training in Cali, this is kind of what I'm
No, it's less location.
Okay.
It's more the people, you know, like when I'm in Hawaii, I train with Egan. And if I know if I'm training like me, Egan, Alex, and a couple of Egan guys, I know it might be a mellow day. But if you go to one of Egan's competition classes, you got to be ready to scrap. Like it's going to be heavy. You know, it's the same thing. Like if I'm in New York and I'm training just me and Glick, I know it's going to be a nice, good session where I learn a ton and, you know, we're looking out for each other, making sure we're not cranking on each other's necks or, you know, snapping arm bars too far. But if I go to Henzo's, like, I'm scared. You know, I'm like, and I don't do that often. You know, I've a couple times I see these animals and I'm like, this is 1996. I'm not looking for this.
I'm good right now.
Or sometimes, you know, I'll do, you know, it's like same thing, man. It's like Josh's school, you know, like you go train at Clockwork and you get a couple guys, and you have all the greatest role ever. And then the next day you go and you're like, where did this dude come from? I feel like we're it's like for points. It's like
you get the 26-year-old from Cornell.
Yeah.
The 26-year-old from Cornell in off season just hanging.
Yeah. Yeah. So my experience, it's not the academy so much. Unless you're talking about Henzo's, but it's more the it's, you know, the specific people. And again, going back to the garage, that's why the garage is such a good space, because you get to go to these different spaces and tell, hey, I remember rolling with that dude. When you fly in from Hawaii or New York, come to the garage. There's a lot of dudes I don't throw that invite to, you know,
for sure.
And then also like, you know, even, you know, Marcus Vinicius's class is still, he did not let up on that. Like if you go to Marcus's and you try to flow, he's like, this isn't jujitsu. What are you doing? Like I've sent people to Marcus's and they've called me the next day and they're like, dude, why'd you send me there? Like I got smoked by a blue belt. It's like a brown belt. He's like, I got beat up like by three blue belts who were trying to kill me. I'm like, dude, I'm sorry. That's how it is. He's like, and I was doing like HIIT training in between rounds and exercise and, you know, like I was sore for a week after that session. So
anyway. Amazing. Talking about training in Hawaii, you brought up Alex. How is it training with Alex? I mean, you guys are in Hawaii filming the show forever, Hawaii 5-0, and he's big on jiu-jitsu. How is it when you guys go? Are you guys trying to kill each other? Are you guys pretty mellow now?
No, we've gotten mellow, but we started not so mellow. I mean, he was I think I gave him his first private, you know.
Badass.
And you know, he just got his brown belt about a year ago from Egan. But yeah, we started where, you know, the dude outweighs me by 50 pounds, a big, strong dude. So I was definitely constantly showing him, you know, giving him my, you know, like 100% effort. And now it's like, you know, it's leveled a little bit more. So we're a lot more mellow. But yeah, when he was like through his blue belt and his purple belt, you know, he just show up on set with black eyes and shit. Everybody's like, what are you guys doing?
You know. Amazing. Amazing. Well, getting close to closing, Scott, one of the last ones, what are the two things? What are some of the love hate you have in the culture of the space of jiu-jitsu? And then the final one would be, what would be your best advice for, you know, the new person coming in or the person that you're trying to advocate to add jiu-jitsu to their life?
Well, I'll start backwards because by the time I answer one, I'll forget the last question. So as far as advice, I would just say, figure out what you want out of jiu-jitsu before you pick where you're going to go. If you're just looking for exercise, you know, there's the right school to go where people are going to be super mellow. You know, if you're just looking to, to do jiu-jitsu to stay in shape, like, you know, don't go to Homolos, you know what I mean? Like don't go to the basement at Henzo's, you know, that's not the spot for you. And if you're looking for competition, like, you know, maybe don't go to, you know, Henner and Hedon, right? You know, maybe go to Cobrina's, you know, maybe go to Beverly Hills Jiu-Jitsu. Like, figure out what it is you really want out of it before you make the choice of going. Because, like I said, like the wrong experience for what you're looking for could turn you off, and it would be a bummer, because I can't imagine, you know, there is a version of jiu-jitsu for everybody. And, you know, you kind of should figure out what you're trying to get out of it before you go. You know, if you just straight want to compete and win medals and you're into the point system and that's your thing, like, there's a school for that, you know, and make sure you're in the right spot. Does that make sense? Do you agree?
That's great advice. That's actually probably the best advice I've heard in a while.
If you just want to stay in shape and you like the idea of self-defense, like, maybe privates are for you, you know, maybe, I think they're like, you know, I wouldn't give you this advice 10, 15 years ago.
For sure.
Say, unless you're ready to scrap, like, jiu-jitsu ain't for you.
Totally.
But, you know, like, I think, you know, like, I don't want to get political, but, like, you know, all the stuff Henner's talking about right now, it's truth. Like, if the police officers knew, if every police officer had to get a blue belt in jiu-jitsu, none of this crazy shit would be going down. you know what I'm saying? You wouldn't see cops fumbling over themselves trying to catch a dude who's running away from them. Like, give him a blue belt in jiu-jitsu, that dude will be handcuffed in 30 seconds.
It's true.
And he will be face down, you know? It's like...
Well, how many cops do you know that are like friends or associates of friends that do jiu-jitsu and they're just like way more mellow? Like, they don't even get
jiu-jitsu. Dude, I know.
They're like, whatever. Like, I don't even want to touch that dude. Like, I get
one
it.
One of
like,
our guys. Yeah. One of our guys at Beverly Hills, a brown belt. He's a cop. And this dude's the sweetest, nicest, like, you know, look, man, there's something to be said about the confidence of martial arts. And there's something beyond that to be said about the confidence of Brazilian jiu-jitsu. You know what I mean? Having that in your pocket, like, you know, you used to hear when you were a kid, like, oh, you take martial arts so you don't have to fight. When you're a kid, you're like, what the fuck does that mean? It means, like, if you know, when I was a blue belt in 1999, I was walking around like, there's not a human who can fuck with me.
100%. 100%. 100%.
And it was good. I mean, at the time, it was bad because I was, like, puffing my chest out about it. But if I was an adult and then, like, you know, in reality, I was more confident than I had ever been. And that's because I knew nobody. Now you got to be careful. Everybody knows a little jiu-jitsu. But back then, you were a blue belt. You're like, I'll never lose a street fight ever again in life.
You're the Iceman. You can take out anybody.
Straight up. So, you know, I think that it is, you know, a lot. If you're, you don't hear a ton about, you know, black belts with 3, 6, 8, 9 years in as a black belt, you don't see those dudes getting into too many fights because they're like, well, why would I fight this dude who I'm going to kill? Tomorrow I'm going to fight some dude that I know is going to give me a hard time. Why am I going to waste my time with this dude who I'm just going to hurt or break? And I also, you know, I like the idea of knowing you can go beat somebody up and not even lay, not even throw a punch, you know?
I think in closing, I think the whole world could use a little bit more jujitsu in these times. So
I think so too. And then that just reminded me of the beginning of your question. What was it? What I dislike or do like about?
Yeah, the love and the hates of jujitsu and our culture in general.
I don't know, man. I don't have a ton of hates. Like
You can give me all the loves then. You can give me all the loves. I'm good with that.
All right. Yeah. I mean, I just feel like I don't like the arguments of right and wrong. And this isn't all of the jujitsu comes from the same place. So whatever version of it is, I mean, I guess I dislike the argument of, you know, competition jujitsu versus, you know, street jujitsu. Like, I mean, those conversations are boring. So
I agree.
But man, as far as like I said, man, what I love about jujitsu, I love everything about jujitsu, and I don't want to sound precious about it, but like, you know, my wife, when something's wrong with me, she's like, go train, you know, like there's not too many other things on this, the earth that people have, you know, jujitsu is my antidepressant, right? Like I'm sure without jujitsu, I don't know, man.
How crazy would you be without jujitsu? Honestly,
I'd be insane out of my mind. I mean, the beginning of COVID, and by the way, here's another thing too. Not only does jujitsu save my mentals, even when I'm not training, jujitsu saves my mentals, because I think a really important part about jujitsu is learning how to not train sometimes.
That's true.
Do you know
what I'm
saying?
That's so true. That's like, true. It's like a detox. It's like a detox, yeah, but not a detox.
You got to be okay with it, man. Because look, if you train, you're going to have injuries. I mean, you don't have to tear your ACL and have, like, you know, bicep tendon surgery, but you're going to have little bumps and bruises, and you're going to have to sit down for 2 weeks, and you got to figure out how to be okay with that. All of that stuff is like, you know, again, I hate being corny, but it's like, you know, jujitsu is a gigantic metaphor for life for me. And without it, yeah, man, I go nuts. But then I also don't go nuts without it because I have it, if that makes any sense.
All right, man. Well, hey, that gets us close to the closing, Scott. I appreciate you, man, jumping on with us and spending time with us and sharing your story and just shooting the shit. So, I appreciate you coming on, man. And thank you very much for jumping on with us. It was a great time.
Of course, man. Thank you. I'm honored that you want to listen to anything I have to say. So I appreciate it.
Until the next garage training session, man. I'll be
seeing you. Yeah, man. Let's get this COVID shit over with so we can get back to business.
I agree, man. Well, hey, you have a blessed weekend. We'll talk soon, man.
You too, brother. Thank you. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you again for tuning in. Please just like, subscribe, and follow us on Shorel on Instagram. And until next time.